Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live tonight around the world. WWCR 5890 on your radio dial on the transmitting jewel of the South. Got a great program for you tonight. Part two of the times that are changing, have been changed, will continue to be changed. Nature ignored. We're going to study part two of the equinox as we go into the divisions of time. Now, when Philo is describing just how the equal of righteousness, Yahweh, in his divisions, man has entered in, we know, and he's perverted it. Now, notice as I go to the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and let me give you some natural instincts that we are to look at in the biblical application when measuring the division of time. Now, I know that man's ways are not Yahweh's ways. Man is perverted as much as he can, what he can get away with. And he's done a masterful job in taking us in Daniel 7:25, as it's related. Even the stars teach us, and really, what we seem to want to know is, well, man hasn't told us anything otherwise, and it seems so right to do it this way. Well, there is such a condemnation of a seem right way. Perfect equality is what we are trying to achieve as near as possible through a celestial event or a homing instinct devices through nature that Yahweh Himself, the Creator, has placed in animals, places, and things, if you will, to indicate or to highlight or to stand out. Nature itself will teach you. And that's what we did in part one. We want to continue the theme and thought of the equalization of time as we're studying some of this controversial material put together by a good friend of mine down in Conyers, Georgia. And we're going to give ourselves a year's study, as we are always open for change, not reluctant. But let's go back to the traditions of man. After traditions have been established, oh, we've been doing it this way and it worked, we've been blessed. Well, the Bible said they'll cast the truth to the ground. You know, you can get you a measurement of a sundial, and it casts a shadow. Some people would even object to the shadow having anything to do with the keeping of time and equalization. Notice, even they refuse to return, and they hold fast to their deceit. Now, they refuse to return. Return to what? Perfect equality, or the indivisible portion between what we call the division of the middle, the bodies and things, to be exact, and to take these divisions and to use them to teach us. But not only this in the sense of celestial, we have these things here that would teach us that Yahweh has programmed, like the birds. You know, a red bird and a blue bird won't mate. And that ought to tell you something of all this ungodly mixing that we've got going on, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no sin in it according to the world. According to the world, it seems right. And Yahweh is placed out, well, hung out to dry. They won't return, he said. Well, I listened, and I heard as they hold fast to deceit. But they do not speak right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? You know, maybe time, you know, since I've been keeping the lunar Sabbath, you get a lot of critics in anything that you do. Anything worth doing is worth being criticized for. And to be condemned in what you do when you're doing it for Yahweh is a glory. Suffer, you know, we're to be humbled when we learn new truth, not to be proud, boisterous, and divisive, but to teach even those that oppose themselves. And we get into this dawn and dusk, or night and day, up and down, in and out. So these are some of the things that we're talking about in the division of time. And just perhaps man has changed the natural equinox. And I know that some of these that know a lot about the subject, or seem to, or want you to believe they do, they would take issue with you if you would use anything other than what is set in the heavens, or seems to be set in the heavens, Everyone turned to their own course as the horse rushes into battle. You know, a horse will go in any course you want. Any path you want to take, he'll carry you into battle. You may not make a wise move, but he'll take you into the battle. But even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. Now listen to that. A stork. It's not the most agreeable bird to get along with. I mean, they do a lot of storking and squawking and going on, but they know their times appointed. And that takes us back to Genesis 1:14, where we'd like to go tonight and start our discourse, if you will, and get into the revelation of the time spans and the divisions and the divide of the bodies and things in equal using nature, not custom. Now, we can establish customs, but not according to Yahweh's customs. The stork knows. Even the stork, this lowly bird. You know, it's seen in New Year's. One of the images of New Year, January. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have had it. We've been had by the time changers. And we got to admit this, and we got to study all aspects of the deceit. Here it says they commit deceit, they have perpetual backsliding, and they turn and will not return. Well, a stork will return. And, you know, we see this symbol of the stork with a diaper carrying a newborn baby indicating a new year. The stork knows its seasons and it knows its appointed times, nature. And the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow, we've got more to say on the swallow. That's something that's common and customary, if you want customs. They observe the time of their coming. The turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. Now, that means there's a deliberate instinct. Someone placed that there. And nature is trying to give us a lesson that we should be established by the incorruptible word of truth and to look for equal or those things that are as close to it as we can in the divide of the middle of time for its seasons. Man, Jeremiah chapter 8. The stork in the heavens knows the appointed times. The turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. They're not coming until it's appointed. Now with man, you know, if they would learn the ways of man, you know, the most perverted thing on the earth that goes against nature, which is built in by a divine design ability by only the Creator, who has given them the ability to know the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of Yahweh. Now, when Philo, again, we're going to bring him up here just a minute and examine a little deeper into, and I know that Philo is not one of the favorite people of a lot of people to try to speak out against Philo, but he's describing how just and equal Yahweh is in his divisions that man has perverted, just like the swallow, and just like the turtle dove, the swift, and the stork. If man could intercede here on behalf of these and change the patterns and the knowing of their coming to teach this species here that we're mentioning here by nature, we could take them out of the time and we could hide more thoroughly right in front of the best place to hide a needle in this confusion here is in a stack of needles. Well, here the storks, the turtle doves, the swift, and the swallows, and the stork, they know the time of their coming. No one has bothered to change that over the years. Whatever is built into their migrational habits by grand design has never been taken away from them. Now, they're going to show up somewhere around February the 20th. And we wait for another month as the truth of Daniel 7:25 says that they would do, that they would change times and seasons. Think about that. Now, for the life of me, I don't know why that I haven't got into this and looked at it a little bit closer and examined it and passed it on to those who sometimes look for my direction and take the integrity of my sayings. You know, you've got to study to show yourself approved to know the time of your coming. You need to know. And if you show up in the unchangeable ordinances of the sun and the moon and the stars, but you do change them against the wisdom of Yahweh who has plugged this into our instincts. I believe instincts. He said, my sheep will hear my word. What would cause them to seek truth in spite of all the opposition? Why don't you just run with the herd? Why don't you just, we're certainly not going to fly with the stork because he knows the time of his coming. Man, who has gone about to change times and laws and the boundaries of the celestial events that is bound to happen at its seasons, the stars in Genesis 1:14 has give us the ability to teach us that they play a most important part for the days and years and signs and seasons. Jeremiah chapter 31:35 refers to the unchangeable ordinances of the sun and the moon. Yeah, I know you'd like to throw the moon out of there, but Jeremiah 31, again, he brings up an important part of the equation here when he says that they would like to change the signs and the seasons of Daniel 7:25. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about premeditation. Deliberate. To take us out of something very important. It's important now. And I have long said this. I was so happy when I got into the name of Yahweh, when I found out the true unadulterated, if you will, that well hidden. I mean, you know, I was reading and praying, and I was just taught by habit and custom to go down to the Baptist church, and that's what I was, a good little Baptist boy. But I learned to ask questions. I wanted to know the time of my coming. I wanted to arrive at the time that the Creator that made me fearfully and wonderfully, that I could show up and see the signs and the seasons of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 35, which indicates, ladies and gentlemen, that it's teaching us, thus saith Yahweh, who gave the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars by night. So let's divide that. Let's get somewhere equally in between the two.
Well, I just believe it's a solar calendar, Pastor Buddy.
Glory to God. Well, you can believe a lie and become a sun worshiper if you want to. Or you could deny the sun has anything to do it and be a lunatic. And you're not setting the boundaries and considering the space between the two, which is described here as light and darkness, by night, the moon, and the stars. Not only the moon, but the moon and the stars. Now, we're emphasizing the stars to teach you that they play an important part in signs and seasons, and we're going to give you some unchangeable ordinances that are making a difference. Something else for you to consider, that the Almighty spoke specifically of a star that Job was very familiar with called Arcturus. And it seems to be a connection with the seasons, because in Job 38:32, canst thou bring forth the Maseroth in his seasons? Now, I asked a brother what the word Maseroth, I was in a sort of difference of understanding and some doctrine in sort of related to this field somewhat, and asked him if he knew what the word Maseroth was about, and he said he didn't. Well, Maseroth has to do with what we would know in Greek using the word, what is that dirty word that they don't want you to say? Oh, the zodiac. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here is the master who created all this, hung it in the heavens, flung the stars out there with precision, called them all by name and placed them specifically for signs and seasons. And Arcturus, which seems to be connected with it, can you guide Arcturus with his sons? And some of the ancient poets and scholars, as far back as 3,000 years ago, associated with the season of springtime and the equinox. Did you know that? Could this have been the original beginning for the stork and these birds that have been chosen that we have mentioned here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 8? But what's in the way? backsliding, indifferent, loving tradition, Israel. Now, I know the world, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like I mentioned, the blue bird is going on. They mate with a blue bird and a red bird. Something divine did that. And he did it for a reason. To teach these hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious, always erring, stiff-necked Israelites that nature itself could teach you. Even the stork, the swallows. They know their season. Archetyrus, it comes up as the brightest star in the northern hemisphere. And it's associated with springtime. And possibly, strongly hinting, that it has to do with the equinox when the birds migrate through the migrational patterns, something built in by design, long before the little horn. I mean, they just kept on doing their thing, even when the little horn changed what we have now as the season of January instead of February being the time appointed for the storks and the birds that know their seasons. You see, it didn't change their habits. Praise Yahweh. And we're to take note of that. We are to look into the heavens through this Archetyrus as he travels a course through the heavens, not like the course of the Milky Way, let's say. Now, we know that it's very notable and noticed for its perpendicular motion, and it does not travel the same stream as the stars in the galaxy of the Milky Way, but cuts across the sky at an angle. Oh my. And it rises twice each year in spring and fall. Would that have anything to do with helping us determine the time of the equinox when Philo here is describing the great, the mighty, and the awesome Yahweh in his divisions before perversion? Knowing that man would pervert it and think to change times and laws, but he couldn't outsmart man, in this case. He couldn't change the ways of the stork. He kept on arriving around the 20th of February, in spite of what man done. And Archetyrus, it kept cutting its way across the sky at an angle, twice each year in spring and fall, and both times it is on a day that there is a true, as near as possible, equal amount of pure light and darkness that is divided in the middle with the evening and the mornings. Eleven hours from sunrise to sunset at the horizon. And around February the 20th, listen to this, Archetyrus rises in the east after sunset around 10 o'clock on or before and can be seen in the sky all night long. It rises again in the east about an hour before sunrise around October the 22nd and disappears when the sun has risen. Amazing! By nature, the ancient writers referred to both of these days as equal light and darkness, the end of the year, the equinox, the beginning of spring, nights and days of equal length, the rising of Arcturus, and several of these poets and writers. Now, what are you bringing them up for, Pastor Buddy? Well, they observed nature. Have you noticed? One of the first things I learned in trying to determine the calendar recipe or the code, it's amazing. Me and a brother was having a conversation one night at a meeting that we were in, and I told him, I said, you know, this lunar Sabbath is the most amazing thing that I've ever gotten into for direction, correction, for reproof. I mean, I was just like that sparrow. I was something, some kind of a gyro system built into my spiritual mind was leading me into this truth. And the deeper I got into it, the further I got out of the world, leaving what the little horn of 725 has obviously done when they created a calendar, not by nature, but by man's wisdom. Oh, the solar is the most amazing calendar in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh didn't choose the amazing sunrise that you could set your watches to. The atomic clocks has to be calibrated quite often, updated, if you will, to keep up with the accuracy of the sun as it revolves around 365 and a quarter days, unequal days. You cannot make it divisible. Yahweh left it that way. As I said last night, I believe it did it with the flood. The earth is not a circular planet, although it looks so. Amazingly, it is oblong. And it wobbles. And the wobble on what is called the precession of the equinox in time, we have these great mystifying things that is almost above our mind because we're not astronomers and astrologers and we're not taking the Maseroth and bringing it forth in its season. And the brother said, well, you're teaching witchcraft, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God, Shunda. I know you're preaching it. You're using that old zodiac to determine times and seasons and events and placement of stars for a specific reason. Well, I believe that the great creator who was grilling Job, who is very familiar with Arcturus, and a lot of people can't even look up. Hey, they're so busy on earth. They're not given to seeking or to observing nature itself teaching you. A lot of things that we should know, the ancient writers, amazingly now, they referred to the days as equal light and darkness, the end of the year, the beginning of spring, the nights and the days, and they determined by looking at it that the beginning of spring was around 60 days after the winter solstice, which we know to be December, around December the 21st to the 22nd. And, of course, we turned that into a pagan holiday of December the 25th and clouded the water again, like I said last night, at the stream where we ought to have clear water. Satan moved his agents in to change both of the spring equinox and the fall equinox and took us out of season with nature screaming and saying, "Behold the swallow, the stork. Behold these birds that knoweth the time of their coming." In the heavens, the stork knows her appointed times. The turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow. Nature has provided that they observe the time of their coming. They observe. And here's man, with the convenience of the calendar. Well, I tell you what about the Gregorian calendar? It is one. It's a masterpiece. Hesiod, when we talk about him, he talked about the days translated, ended, and the nights and days of equal length upon the earth. And he said, the mother of all bears again her various fruit. When Zeus has finished 60 wintry days after the solstice, then the star Arcturus leaves the holy stream crossing, not following the pattern, the stream of ocean, and first rises brilliant at dusk. And then we have the swallow appear when spring is just beginning. Before she comes, prune the vines, for it is best to do so before they build their nest and begin their pattern of bringing forth. Now, if you would look at what that just said with Hesiod, we're finding that it teaches that 60 days after the winter solstice, which would put us near February the 20th, nights and days of equal length, it teaches us that this is the end of the year. Well, I got January to say we're already starting a new year, Pastor Buddy, and I'm just sticking to that. I'm not going to confuse. I ain't going to muddy the stream. You see, tradition has a way of clearing the matter up. Although it seems right, those who don't run with the herd mentality, like the swallow, he don't get caught up in what man does. He does his thing just like he was programmed to do before the world was. He knows that spring, somehow he counts the days after the winter solstice, which is around December the 21st, and shows up 60 days later. And Yahweh noted that. He brought that up. And he gave us the celestial event that he mentioned to Job and Arcturus, that it rises up out of the ocean. And it teaches us that just when that happens, spring is just beginning. The swallow appears. And you say, well, it ain't spring yet. We ain't got the spring equinox coming up in March. Well, you go tell that swallow that. You go tell the stork that. You go tell the turtle dove, the swift. You tell them. You change their built-in functioning, which has never betrayed them. You see, they're not caught up in tradition. They're caught up in the act of the Creator programming them to do just what they've done. They know the time of their coming. And we can have all kinds of signs and yet deny it. Well, I tell you what, I believe in the solar calendar and I'm sticking with it. Glory to God. You all lunatics that use that old moon in the time of the night to determine time. Well, here it says in Jeremiah 31, as long as Israel existed, we have this to remind us. The stars and the moon by night and the sun by day, and as long as there was a sun and a moon, Israel would remain, and a few people would, just like the swallow, that winter is gone and the swallows return by February. And it teaches us that spring begins in February instead of January for a new year. It says, this is Ovid that I mentioned last night, one of the poets that wrote songs, and he actually sang about the simple little swallow that hurls the spring. Does she not fear lest winter should turn back and return again? Notice, winter's gone. And spring has sprung. Nature itself would teach you a thing or two if you could just tell us why the new year begins with cold when it would be better started in the spring, and when the flower comes time to bud forth and the new buds swell on the fertile vines, the trees are covered in newly formed leaves and grass springs from the spring, from the surface of the soil, and birds delight by singing and building their nest at the appointed time which has been built into their guidance system, just like the star Arcturus system that rises up out of the sea on time to announce this celestial event announces, and yet, well, now the ones that really know about this, Pastor Buddy, they knew that March the 20th was the time, and they've set this into motion, and we've got by, and the world has done very good, and it works out real well. I don't care how good it works for the world. I don't care if they cast the truth to the ground and prosper, and hell has to enlarge her borders to receive those who know not the time of their coming, or their going for that matter, while it's still dark. And if you turn a light on early in the morning when it's still dark, and it makes light and darkness equal. to conclusively prove that the swallows still know their seasons of Jeremiah 8 and 7, they still return in February. Because they know the time of their coming. Nature decides when spring begins, not man. Now remember that. Let me repeat that. Nature decides upon its own merits when spring begins, not man. With Scripture verifying it, that the swallow observed their coming. The Almighty knows and has programmed the stork and other birds of migratory ability to know their appointed times, the turtle and the crane and the swallow. And ladies and gentlemen, man, I mean, it's a sight. You go to Capistrano in California, Mission there, where every year, without fail, the swallows return in February. They don't, they're already here in, before March, but man waits for March before we change the celestial event, and with the research, if you look back at this time, you still see swarms and waves of these birds that do not have any concern about Daniel 7:25 by keeping the time appointed that was built into their migratory system, that little brain, that little knowing that keeps that bluebird from mating with a redbird and gives them a migratory pattern that they do it year after year at the time of their coming. They come right in the middle of February. Now, if you look for another equinox or beginning of the spring season before the change to the one that we have now, nature knows when springtime is, and so do all the birds. But the people don't know the judgments of Yahweh. Israel has now become the bird-watching capital of the world. And the following birdwatcher's website tells you that the swallows arrive in the springtime in the middle of February, not March. And I'm telling you, maybe we ought to take a look at nature and begin to understand that Yahweh's ways have been perverted. And this has gone on for quite a while. The first flocks of white and black storks will have appeared by the middle of the month of February. What do they come in February for? When we usually regard the 20th of February as the starting date for the waves of these migratory birds, which include quail, the hoopoe, the short-toed lark, the red rumpled swallow, and the stork that knows his time of coming, and they appear in the original, I believe, equalization time that Yahweh placed. But what happened? Who changed the definition of spring? Is it possible that someone thought to change seasons as Daniel's prophecy tells us? I've got to get off. And I don't want to stop. I'm just going to have to do part three. Coming back here Saturday night with Pastor Buddy. And another hour wouldn't hurt on this subject, as we've got more truth and nature to cover. And so then, if you would like to hear part three, tune in this coming Saturday night at 11. We're on the late show on 11. You'll have to set up a little late. You can catch it when Bob posts it. Usually has it up within 24 to 36 hours. If there's no interruptions in the connections of the communication between us. He being in Arkansas and me being in Tennessee and the radio station being down here in Nashville. So then, if you'd like to hear part three, tune in Saturday night at 11 Eastern Standard Time to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call for part three of Times and Seasons. Now, if you'd like to write me tonight, it's simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. If you'd like to call me, you can do so by calling me at 423 in the area code. That's 1-423. Write this number down. 423-351-1082. Now that's Pastor Buddy at 423-351-1082 for the telephone number. And we would appreciate you calling or writing if you're interested in the correct starting time. Now, I'm not, my way of 20 years ago when we started into approximately the lunar truth. I told you it was one of the greatest truths I've ever got into and still is. I still marvel. I still enjoy studying. And we've got a little group here that meets at the King's Gate. We keep a lunar calendar. Brother Steve, out in the great state of Kansas, does our calendar every year. And he, along with others, have encouraged me to get into the meat of this evidence, this historical evidence, and pinpoint the beginning of spring and the true equal light and darkness to see where it's in February that we begin to observe and take the first new moon after the equinox, whether it be February or March. You see, we've got decisions. That's how we want to pinpoint the truth. We are not scared of the truth. We're not like those of Jeremiah chapter 8 that revel in rebellion. Rebellion, a spirit of rebellion. I mean, I know preachers, they give themselves out as teachers. Man, they're bullheaded. They won't consider any evidence. They'll read around the question. just like Isaiah 66. They're not going to acknowledge, these Sabbath-day keepers are never going to acknowledge that in the millennial, that Yahweh is going to restore the true Sabbath from one new moon to the Sabbath. And they can read that there. I had one brother that was so honest when he heard that scripture read in his presence. He walked out of the group that was in defiance of keeping the lunar and started keeping the lunar. That's a migratory, if you will, instinct built in. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, if the sheep is confused, sometimes we do get confused. Sometimes we search for truth and the trail or the path, and we miss it. But in this case, may Yahweh direct our path, give us understanding, and let the evidence, be it February or March, be it September or October, for the true celestial events, and that Yahweh's migratory instincts of the Spirit direct us toward the heavenly calling at all price. Heaven is cheap at any price. And my soul has no pleasure in them that draw back. Remember Lot's wife. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you this coming Saturday night here on The Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. I'm thankful for the opportunity to sit in tonight, thanks to the generosity of our provider for the radio, paid in full. No questions asked. And I'm so thankful. Two nights a week, we're on here on Wednesday and Thursday night on 5890 WWCR, the transmitting Jewel of the South, clear channel. Truth is being preached. Don't cast it to the ground. Be like the swallows and the rising of Arcturus in February. The rising of the Pleiades marks the beginning of summer, which is an event nearly coinciding with the fall equinox and finally beginning the winter of the cosmic setting of the Pleiades as we follow the stars, which is visible all night long for a purpose. We're going to get into some more of that come Saturday night. May Yahweh bless you, and we'll catch you Saturday night around the world. WWCR. Go to our website tonight. Brother Bob just informed me today we have the 20 and 12 lunar calendar posted on the website. And we also have this article that I'm reviewing for the information. This is an article that's put together by and written by our good brother down in Conyers, Georgia, Brother Arnold, that I'm teaching from. Me and him have talked about this quite a few years ago. I promised that one day, if I ever got time to investigate it, and I'm doing so, I've learned quite a bit. I'm not thoroughly convinced. The Bible said, be fully persuaded. Boy, nature has a way of powerfully impacting the spirit that is so resistant to change. And so then, tonight, if you're interested in the true dates, times, and places of the celestial events that Yahweh has built into the spiritual mind of the sheep, follow the path that is narrow, and a few there be that find it. Yahweh bless you.